This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I am waking up this morning expecting him to be traded, but I would put him in the class that until it's done, you never know, because there have definitely been conversations in recent days about extending Brad Marchand. So I always leave the provision with someone like him. Did something happen in that 2 hours and 34 minutes while I was asleep that maybe could change that? Because, you know, Brad has been pretty clear, obviously, about his desire to stay in Boston. I think the team, you know, if they're negotiating, obviously they were fine with that too. But you know, certainly the feeling around the league late yesterday afternoon and until I went to bed, I hadn't changed, is that Marchand is like to be dealt.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's a Friday, which means we have our week in review coming your way at 12:45. It's also trade deadline day in the NHL. That was Chris Johnston from Sportsnet up in Canada on the What Chaos podcast. They've been doing a live stream at the trade deadline. That's our pals DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn. Great work there. We'll hear from more of their What Chaos special at the trade deadline coming up. Frank Saravelli, they had on as well. He expected to wake up today with Brad Marchand on the West Coast.
Still not.
Still not there, Keith, with less than 3 hours to go before the trade deadline. And, well, I just wonder, if he expected to wake up with Marchand on the West Coast, should I feel worse about the chances of him getting dealt? We started the show at 10. I said, yeah, I think he gets moved today. You were more dubious, and I'm coming a little more to your side of the street.
Yeah,
just based on the lack of news and information league-wide. I mean, there's been one trade all day.
Now, the hope would be, right, real quiet. Now, there were some trades done before. It's also a really late trade deadline, which we've talked about a lot this year with the Four Nations and everything. The Bruins have less than 20 games left to play in the regular season, and then, you know, Brad Marchand's injury, I think, is also a factor in all this. The hope would be this. You have at least two teams on the line, and you're just trying to get the best deal possible.
Yep.
And you want to leave no stone unturned. And if you can squeeze one more pick or one more player out of a team to get the deal done, hopefully that's what it is. Hopefully it's not just Don Sweeney sitting around waiting for the phone to ring, and it's him going back and forth with multiple GMs.
Nope, that's the case, or hopefully that's the case,
hopefully.
Rather. I mentioned there's been only one trade all day long, which means we've been itching to use our sounder. Now, there are no trades right now. I want you to know this.
Yeah. Don't throw people off.
But if any trades go down throughout the league, Bruins included,
yeah,
how would it sound again, Nick? So, for instance, Anthony Beauvillier, something like that.
On the move.
When he gets traded like he did earlier today, that's what it's going to sound like.
You'll hear it here first.
Any transaction throughout the league, you will hear it here first. We'll go to Billy Lanny over at the trade desk.
Absolutely.
And you will get all the info here. There's really no reason to go anywhere else.
Would you say right now it's quiet, maybe a little too quiet?
Too quiet.
Amongst the NHL GMs right
inside
now?
Inside job. That is what
I
would
say. Know if that's the case.
Yeah, inside the league.
Hasn't been anything
all
going.
All the teams, it's an inside job.
Nothing's cooking. Do you think Sidney Crosby gets traded?
No.
Nah, probably not.
And I don't think Crosby and Marchand are getting traded together. And that's just purely going off one tweet from Pierre LeBrun earlier today, who said he thinks Colorado is now out on Marchand. I mean, he didn't say it quite that way. I'll give you the exact wording. But it was something like that. He said, we'll see if it where it goes on Marchand. I think it can still go either way, signed or traded, which put a pin in the contract talk for a minute because we're going to play something from Cirivelli that ties into that as well. I don't think Colorado is a likely landing spot now based mostly on the assets spent last night on Brock Nelson. So, no, I don't think it's – and maybe Crosby just wouldn't sign off on it. Crosby's like, I can't do it. I want to retire a Penguin, which I get more than Marchand. I still don't get. Like, go compete for a cup and go to Colorado and play with McKinnon and Marchand and go try to win a cup for Nova Scotia. Like,
yeah.
go bring that thing back to Canada and go party up in Cole Harbour or whatever. Like,
I would assume
that.
Like most players' idol growing up was Wayne Gretzky, especially these guys, right? Like the younger generation, it's probably Connor McDavid, for God's sakes. But like for these guys that are in like their mid 30s, they're looking up at a guy like Gretzky who didn't play for one team, played for a bunch of teams actually.
Yeah.
So there is something cool about that, I guess, where you can say, hey, I only played for one team and okay, great. But Crosby and Marchand could both go play somewhere else for 2 years. But 5 years from now, when you mention Sidney Crosby, you're going to be like, Penguins?
Yeah.
And when you say Marchand, you're going to say Bruins.
And what helps your legacy more, winning a second cup or retiring with the same team?
Yeah, I would think winning more cups.
For Marchand. For Crosby, it'd be what, four? What would it be for Crosby?
Yeah,
I think four.
Three. Yeah.
So winning another cup would do more for your legacy than playing for one team, in the case of all these guys. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, you're right. Three cup winner.
Here we go. Who in their right mind, this is a text, 617-779-7937, and you can dial us up too. Do you think Marchand's going to move? Are you getting nervous leading up to the trade deadline? Would you applaud the Bruins for keeping Marchand in just a Bruins sweater for his entire career?
Whoa! Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
Ba-boom!
Ba-boom!
Oh, boy!
Wow, that means an NHL trade has just gone down, so let's go to the trade desk with our very own Billy Lanny. Billy!
Going to TSN Sports, Philadelphia sending Andre Kuzmenko to the Los Angeles Kings for a 2027 third-round pick.
Things are heating up, Jones. Things are heating up. We ask,
okay, so
we
as
receive.
As we were saying,
yeah.
On the text line, thank you for that update, Billy.
On the text line,
who in their right mind is going to pick up a player who has an unknown injury? The Bruins just did it with Frederick. What are you talking about? And maybe that was more of a known injury,
I guess.
The
Bruins did it with Pat Maroon last year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of examples. Yeah. Also, it's unknown to us.
Right.
Is it unknown to them?
Right. They're not going to be like, hey, wait a minute. Don't tell me.
The Avalanche, like, hey, we want him. Like, well, he does have an upper body injury. No, they're going to tell him what it is, and they know the timetable. That's they're very
point.
Secretive about it.
Good point.
Also, the Red Sox did it with Kyle Schwarber. The Lakers and Mavericks did it this year with Davis and Luka. They were both hurt at the time of the trade.
But besides all of those names, who in their right mind would do that?
They would. If he's out for the season, you have a great case. You have a great point. You're not going to pick up a rental who can't play for you.
Another text.
But if he's back in a week, you'd pick him up.
Another text.
All right.
Can Marchand be loaned for the remainder of the season to Colorado or Edmonton? Traded. Let's change the word.
Loaned.
Soccer. And then get him back next year.
You could.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Do you think there's any chance that happens?
I think there's a chance.
Okay.
I mean, Aroldis Chapman did it, and I don't know. Anybody else do it?
I know, but I've heard that
he
about a lot of guys.
Only one.
Yeah, I've heard, like, right. You know why you keep hearing Chapman over and over again?
There's no other examples.
I don't think there's a ton of examples. I'm not saying it's the only one.
No.
But I remember hearing this specifically with John Lester when the Red Sox traded into the A's. It's like, great move.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are just going to trade him back, and they got Suspettis and whatever else in the meantime. It's like, no. He was like, screw you guys. I'm out.
But they also.
I think there's some bad blood with Marchand.
Low-balled him big time.
But,
maybe there's some bad blood here.
I think there's bad blood with the contract right now.
I also think.
Maybe not as bad as Lester, but I don't. Marchand and the Bruins are not on the same page with the contract.
No, that's true.
How do I know? There's no contract. That's how I know.
No, there isn't. But also, there's like, to play your side of it, the idea of playing for one team your whole career, I think, is better than the, I'll come back and finish my career with that team. Right. So say he plays for Colorado,
unless he wins the cup.
Like, you can never say you only played for the Bruins. Like, no, you played for Colorado. Even if you win the cup, like, you still played for Colorado.
Right.
Whereas, like, Crosby in Pittsburgh might just say, hey, look, I only want to play here. I wanted to, like, look back at my career. Right? Like, Lemieux only played there, right? I would assume.
Lemieux only played in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so, like, maybe, like, you're looking to do something like that. So it's a little bit different, I guess.
617-779-7937. Another shout-out here to the What Chaos podcast. Pete Blackburn, DJ Bean, doing great work. Good friends of the show. They had on Frank Cirivelli, was also a friend of the show. Shouted out Hockey Insider Rich Keefe earlier this year.
Yeah, thank you, Frank.
Credit him on the Monty firing, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Sacco hiring.
That's correct.
Yet another scoop that Rich Keefe had.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Frank Cirivelli on What Chaos with DJ and Pete. Speaking of the return the Bruins are hoping to get.
Even with him being hurt, is it a first-round pick plus, you think? Is it? I mean, everybody wants, like, what's that?
Plus.
Plus.
Wow. This is going to be a significant deal if it happens. If not, they're not moving him. Like, this is not your typical rental. This is a heart and soul franchise player and captain of your team. So it's because on the other end of this, if you don't get exactly what you're looking for, I think everyone can agree that there's some contract to work out that makes both parties happy.
Doesn't seem like that's been the case.
I don't know that I agree on the contract part.
Wouldn't they have gotten it done last offseason? Or at least at some time? Maybe they were so time-consumed with Jeremy Swayman, and that one was there was more priority just because he needed to get him back on the ice. So, okay, that might explain away what it was like back in October,
right.
September. Right. But it's been a long time since.
Now, in fairness, both LeBrun and Cervelli are saying the same thing. There's a contract to be had. You know, even Friedman wrote this earlier today, or late last night, whenever it was. He's like, yeah, one phone call could change everything. He could still sign an extension with the Bruins. I mean, he could, and deadlines spur action, and I get all that. And the trade deadline's today at 3, maybe that'll make it happen. But there's a report earlier this season in October from Elliot Friedman, the number 2 hockey insider.
That's right.
After Skoubskeef. And Marchand has yelled at both of them this year.
I know.
But he said, oh, yeah, Elliot said I have a contract extension. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, turns out there has been no contract extension. Sweeney's confirmed that, Razor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if the team thought in October they had a deal worked out with Marchand, or at least they were close to the finish line. It leaked out to Friedman, and Marchand's like, no, no, no. I'm not giving them another crappy home discount like Krejci or Bergeron or Chara at the end of their careers. They've paid Swayman. They've paid McAvoy. They've paid Pastrnak. They may have overpaid all those guys. So, you know what? I'm not taking the discount. And I thought Sweeney last week put the ball back in Marchand's court, applied pressure to Marchand about the contract where he's like, well, if I had my druthers, he'd retire a Bruin. And Marchand said that's what he wants too, but he's also left the door open to play elsewhere. And I think Marchand is hesitant to sign with the Bruins. So not to go back at all these insiders, Keith, I know you're one of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the contract, they're that close to working out a contract. It doesn't feel that way from the outside looking in, but I'm admittedly on the outside.
Well, how can you think that it's close? I mean, they've gone all year without it, and all these guys now are saying how likely it could be for him to be traded. So if you had a deal lined up or you're waiting to the end of the year to announce it or whatever else, it would be a no. Like, could Marchand be traded? It'd be no. It's not 50-50 or guys saying, yeah, I expected to wake up this morning with him on the West Coast. Like, it wouldn't be any of that. And talking about, like, what the return would be. There would be no return. Nobody's talking about what the return would be for Pastrnak or McAvoy because those guys aren't going anywhere. So everybody is talking about a Marchand deal. I think that Sweeney probably hopes that he would just take these like year-to-year deals that a lot of the veteran guys have done in the past. And Marchand saying, I already took a pretty team-friendly deal before. I still have something left in the tank. How about multiple years? And they don't want to do that. And then so like both sides can say what they think is the right thing. I only want to be here and we only want him to be here. But clearly they can't come to an agreement on terms. And it's funny, it seems like Swayman was sort of the face of it, but Cam Neely and Don Sweeney have had tough negotiations, it seems like,
yeah,
over the last year. Whereas prior to that, even if, you know, Tuukka got a good deal and, you know, Bergeron, Krejci, like, it didn't seem like it took this much. Like, they're kind of like pulling teeth, it feels like, to get these deals done.
So I agree. That's where they feel like on this one and a couple of the more recent ones. So you can jump in at 617-779-7937. Keith, the contract is one of the hangups. Sticking with that Cervelli comment there, DJ says, well, are you going to get a first rounder plus? And he goes, no, plus. Like,
plus.
Sweeney wants a haul, in other words, for Marchand. And I'm starting to wonder, and this is maybe me just panicking a little bit the closer we get to the deadline, less than 3 hours away at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So you'll hear it here right smack in the middle of WEEI afternoons. Keep it locked here all day. I'm starting to wonder if the Frederick trade is throwing off the Marchand trade, if that makes any sense. Sweeney got a good return. 2 and a 4 plus a prospect, non-prospect, for Trent Frederick. That's a good return. That's better than we thought.
That's great.
I don't want to throw a parade for it, get the duck boats out there, but that's a good return. It's more than I thought they'd get for a player they weren't going to keep. I wonder if now Sweeney goes, oh, yeah, well, we got a plus deal for Frederick. It's plus for Marchand, and he's overplaying his hand a little bit. I wonder if some of that's going. I hope not, but that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Oh! Wait a minute! You wait a minute!
Bubble! 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 It's heating up right now. Let's go to the trade desk with our own Billy Lanny. Billy.
Okay, going to Bleacher Report, Dylan Cousins is heading to Ottawa for a package including Josh Norris and Jacob Bernard-Docker, per multiple sources.
I'm being informed from
Thank you, Billy.
Elliot Friedman's Twitter that is a quote-unquote big one.
Big trade just happened. And we
got it covered.
Got it first.
What do you think, Keith? You agree with Friedman? That's a big one?
Pretty big trade, yeah.
Big, large one.
Yep.
Dylan Cousins is pretty good. Don't know the other guys, though.
Big trade for both teams. Thank you, Nick. Big trade for both.
That's your hearting analysis.
You don't break down by Nick. Something called Bernard Docker? You don't know that?
So Billy's in the trade desk, and then we have Nick in the analyst desk. Nick's going to analyze these deals.
Good.
Yeah. It's going to rain.
Yeah. Look, no one covers the trade deadline.
Big trade.
In all sports, like Jones and Keith. Okay, good. Well, at least we're starting to get some work out of that sounder today.
So here's the thing. You've already gotten to the point, it feels like, where they're at least taking calls, if not shopping Marchand. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So,
do you want the way that Chris Johnston put it yesterday?
Sure.
Where the heck did it go in my notes? It was something like they're not saying no. The Bruins are they are not saying no to anybody asking about Marchand.
Entertaining it. Now you just wonder is Sweeney and Neely saying, hey, if we get a first and a second round pick, we're doing it. And then let's say hypothetically teams are saying, we'll give you a first round pick and like a third round pick, or a first round pick and a player that we do they say, no, we're only doing it for the one and the two? Like, I feel like this is where if you already had your mind made up that you'd be willing to trade them, you don't have to deal them with the first move, right? You don't have to trade them this morning, the first team that calls you.
Nope.
But keep the good deals in the back of your mind, and then you can always go back to it. And sure, you wanted a little bit more, but isn't something better than nothing?
Can you always go back to it?
Oh, no, that's true. Teams could always go somewhere else.
Teams might move on and say, Sweeney is driving a hard bargain again, and you know what? We're just going to take this other deal.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're not going to wait it out and play brinksmanship right up until the final bell, and then we'll be the ones left holding the bag. No. We're going to make a move. We're not going to get used. So, but largely, I agree with your point. The Bruins didn't have to wake up today trading Marchand. Chris Johnston said, this is yesterday, the Bruins continue to go back and forth on Marchand on a possible contract extension. Word is they're still open to potentially trading their captain. Teams calling with interest are not being told no right now. That was yesterday. He told DJ and Pete he expected to wake up today with Brad Marchand somewhere on the West Coast. So,
what's the least amount you would accept for Brad Marchand?
Like a second rounder that can be a conditional first, if that makes sense, right?
Oh, that's even lower.
Okay, but like,
I was thinking first round pick.
But I'm saying, I would put conditions on the first round pick, whereas, and they would be low, but if they're worried at all about Marchand not being out there in the playoffs, like, it turns into a first rounder if Marchand plays X amount of playoff games, or it turns into a first rounder if you win X amount of rounds, like, I would be willing to play that game. Because I'd rather trade Marchand for something than get nothing, Keith. And a second rounder that can be a conditional first, or maybe I'm saying that backwards, a conditional first that if it doesn't hit the conditions turns into a second, is still something compared to nothing. Now, that's less than you would have got for Frederick, but who knows? Maybe the injury is complicating things. Maybe Sweeney would need to pivot and do it. But I would, if you're asking me would I do that deal, I would still do that deal. I would hope for more, but I would still do that deal as opposed to Marchand walking in free agency for zero. That would terrify me.
Well, they also know, I assume, what Marchand's asking for, which we don't. And so it's similar to Swayman. Like, if Swayman's asking for this, they're willing to spend this, they maybe know what would get it done. So if there's like a huge gap there, I feel like you have to trade him. If it's close and you really think he's going to be a part of the near future here and he's going to be part of a turnaround, like, just throwing numbers out, let's say they offered $3 million and he wants $4 million. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, like at the end of the day, would they be willing to go up to $4 million, or would they be willing to? Do you think he would actually accept $3.5 million? Like, if it's that close, then maybe that's when they wait and just actually get a deal done. But if it's a huge, like, he wants $6 million and they're offering $2 million, like, okay, then maybe you're not going to get anything done.
I asked you this earlier. Do you feel you need Marchand to get dealt to be vindicated on your scoop from earlier this year?
No, I think the way the whole season has played out, including the coach getting fired, has already proven that this scoop was correct.
So I agree with you. Need would be too strong.
No.
You don't need it to be vindicated.
No.
I believe you. You should believe Keith when it comes to Bruins scoops. But I think it'd go a long way to a lot of people looking at it going, they traded
something.
Their captain in the middle of the year.
Which we were told you don't do.
No. After they fired their coach
former
in the middle of
the
year.
Show. Yeah.
And they bombed in the regular season, including last night. We barely even talked about it, but like the way last night
was a mess.
The way it ended was so embarrassing. with that giant oaf, Zadorov, cracking his stick and losing the game for him. He's been a waste of money all year long.
That's
stealing money.
Bad signing.
All year long, that oaf. And so, on top of their season going down the tubes, yeah, Keith, like I think it would go a long way to the people who have doubted you to saying, oh, maybe that Rich Keefe, who I should have believed all along, right. Scoops Keefe,
mm-hmm.
maybe he was onto something. I think it would go a long way. Do you need it? No.
No.
But it would help.
Just minding my own business.
It would help.
Reporting what was being told, and then I'm getting, you know, players telling me I should be fired. It was a tough swing there.
And we as journalists, Big That's J journalists.
That's us.
You know, we're not one to root for things like this.
No.
But I...
Down the middle.
But I am rooting for Marchand to get traded.
Although I'm
also rooting for the team to be good sooner rather than
it would
later.
It would help the team.
Yeah.
That's part of why I'm rooting for it. But the, that's not, it's not the
there
whole
is
reason.
Also that. Yeah.
It's not the whole reason for me.
So then there'd be like the 100% of the players that said I should be fired have been traded. There's also that I could add to the mix.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know, Keith?
Well, right.
I did say that things weren't great with Pastrnak in the room, specifically with Brad Marchand from Pastrnak's standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then Marchand got traded. That'd be interesting if all that went down that
It was weird how going back to the original report, it was really nothing bad about Marchand, and then it ended up being like Marchand versus which was like not what how it
it's started. Because Marchand went at you.
Yeah, no,
that's
I know.
That's why.
Oh, okay. No, I know.
That's how it got framed that way. But yeah, your report really was about Pastrnak.
If he gets traded, do you think he releases a ton of photos of him and all his teammates like having a hug and stuff?
Good question.
I'd like to see that.
Good question. Yeah. It depends on...
That was a real in-my-face. He won that.
It's just all the same ones he's already used.
Yeah. Just the same photo roll. Repost.
Repost them because there are no new ones.
Now, that'd be great.
I always do I do like this, and I've thought about pointing this out in the past. Since we're here, I'll point it out. I do like how they'll tweet out like the Bruins account, the Nesson accounts. They'll like tweet out before the game, like all the guys like high-fiving and bumping each other in the hallway. And it's always like Marchand and Swayman bumping each other, and they're super into it. You never really see Pastrnak and Marchand doing a lot of that.
Oh, is that right?
It's jumped out to me.
Huh.
So you never really see a ton of it. But whatever, nothing there.
No.
617-779-7937. Trade deadline is about 2.5 hours away. 3:00, you'll hear it here, right smack dab in the middle of WEEI Afternoons on a Friday. Should the Bruins trade Marchand? Will they trade Marchand? And whose call is it to trade Brad Marchand? Is that Sweeney on his own? Is Neely telling Sweeney what to do? Is ownership actually awake up in Buffalo? Or are they directing things? Let's get to that with all your phone calls.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't have a lot of sources, Zach, as you know. I'm not Scoops Keefe over here or anything like that. But I have a couple. There's a couple people I have who are in the know. And one of them told me last week that there is a 0% chance that Marchand gets traded. I shouldn't even talk about it anymore. That person texted me in this past commercial break and just said, hey, it's actually 50-50 now. Which, to me, sounds like he's getting traded. if it was 0% last week and it's 50-50 now, then the next step is that it's 100%. He's gone to Colorado and he's there playing with Sidney Crosby and Nate McKinnon or whatever else.
Christian Arcan last night on the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, evenings from 6 to 10.
That's right. Scoops are canned.
Yeah, I think my real takeaway from that, Keith.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting Bruins scoops at this station, pretty much except for me. No one wants
people
to
are talking.
No one's telling me anything.
Nobody's talking to you, but that's
no,
okay.
Why is no one talking to me?
I think we got it covered. Really, from 6A all the way to 10P, there are scoops to be had.
I think we know why no one's talking to me. But
yeah, it makes sense.
Bruins scoops all day long.
That's right.
People love talking to the
station. The more the merrier.
Scoops, yeah.
Fine with that.
But good. Arcan, first of all, said, look, I'm no Scoops Keith. Which, who among us is?
Fair.
But he also says, I do hear from time to time. A week ago, it was 0%. It's now 50-50. Ipso facto, by trade deadline at 3, might be 100.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of math I understand.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So good work on Arcan. You can listen to him
6
to 10 right here on WEEI and on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy, and take it with you wherever you go. I was going to update the Jones and Keefe bracket real quick. It looked like you were about to say something.
Nope. I was just still nothing. Too quiet, I would say, as it relates to the Bruins.
Too quiet.
So they've made a couple of moves.
No, they have. They traded Brazo.
Brazo.
They got a good return on Frederick, which I wonder if it's holding things up. I was about to update. I thought the voting had closed on our 1 versus 16 in the basketball region. There are still a few minutes left to get in and vote, but it looks like the Nuggets, the 1 seed, are going to hold off the number 16 seeded 90s
now,
teal Charlotte Hornets.
That was just a little scare, and then they can go on a long run.
That does happen with a 1 seed from time to time.
Or are they vulnerable?
You get spooked early. Yep. But yeah, that it's feeling, if I had to answer you, Keith, it's feeling like a vulnerable 1 seed.
I think
what
it
it's
is.
Feeling like.
Yep. The full bracket will be out shortly as well on Twitter and Instagram. You'll get to see the entire. Right now we're voting, but the full bracket to take a look at.
Look ahead to all the matchups.
Yes.
Right. So if the Nuggets advance, it looks like they will with a couple of minutes left. They are going to play the winner of our 8-9 matchup. That's the most recent one at Jones and Keefe. Just go to the Twitter timeline. You can see all the various matchups there where you can vote. We have the number 8-seeded Miami Heat in their Miami Vice uniforms versus the number 9-seeded Miami Heat in their 80s white uniforms modeled by Harold Biner. One editorial thing we decided to do was put all the doubles. We had some duplicates in.
Have them square off right off the rip.
I think in every region but the football region, we had duplicates. And so we matched them up right away to get the best uniform for that team and narrow it down. So you can vote at Jones and Keefe. You can also dial us up, 617-779-7937. Who do you think is driving the Marchand trade? Who do you think is – what's the motivation for the Marchand trade? Is it Sweeney saying it's the right thing to do? Is it Sweeney trying to save his job? Is Neely kind of acting as a proxy on behalf of ownership and saying, hey, this is the right thing to do? Is ownership doing it? Is Marchand just giving him cold feet, freaking him out because he won't sign the contract extension and hasn't since Elliot Friedman reported in October it was a done deal? Like, is Marchand in a way kind of driving it? Like, what is the motivation behind it and who's running it?
So I think it's uncharted territory for everybody involved. So Don Sweeney has been the GM of a playoff team every single year. And so at this time, they're always adding players. And so here's a spot where you should be a seller. They're like a mini seller. Trent Frederick is sort of like a mini sell, but they should be a seller. And so he's never really done that before. Also, you have Brad Marchand, who isn't under contract next year. So I do think the contract negotiations are a big part of it. Because that was the other thing that had been out there. Trent Frederick and the Bruins negotiated. That didn't go well. So I think they didn't think they could sign Trent Frederick long term. He was also having a bad year, and boom, he's gone. Now, I'm not saying Marchand and Frederick are the same. Marchand means a lot more to the franchise. He is the captain. But they're both unrestricted free agents at the end of the year.
They should treat them the same. In all honesty, like I understand emotions get tied up in it the legacy of a player, but they should treat it the same. It's a guy who you're going to lose at the end of the year. You're missing the watch how that ended again last night in Carolina, where they could have lost a couple of times in the final 90 seconds. They did when Zadorov busted his stick and they lose the game. But like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, no.
He's an unrestricted free agent who may not return. You should treat him the same as Frederick.
Right. And you should be able to get a good amount in return for him. Other teams, I think, should also make it a no-brainer. Meaning, if you're Edmonton, Colorado, Vegas, Winnipeg, one of these teams, don't you take a look at the teams that are out of it? You say, all right, what players could help us? I'm like, that's an obvious one. Like, what a great addition. As much as we're saying the Bruins stink right now and they're going nowhere, yeah, but Marchand's still, even at his age, one of their three or four best players. You saw him play, like, he had a minor role on Team Canada, but he was a part of Team Canada's win there for the Four Nations. So if you add him where he's not the, oh, you better be a 30-plus goal scorer for us, but if you add him as, like, a complimentary piece, and even if he's playing on, I don't even know, depending on what team he goes to, second or third line or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that is a big upgrade. So I think as much as it's about the negotiation and whether he's going to be here long term, or whether they feel like, even if Sweeney and Neely wonder if they can withstand the backlash that would be trading Marchand, one of these Western Conference teams should come in here and just make it easy for him. Be like, we need this guy for a cup run. We're going to offer you a first round pick and a player and like a third round pick or whatever, and get it done.
You asked me this earlier. What's the minimum you would take for Marchand to say, all right, fine, let's do it? Well, you wouldn't go less than a one, like even a conditional one.
Yeah, like just a one.
Got it.
Give me a first round pick. I'll get it done. I think based off of what you got in return for Trent Frederick, I think you can get more than that.
Me too.
But then his injury does throw in a little bit of a curveball to it.
Well, again, it's just I also think you can get more.
Yeah.
But Cervelli said first rounder plus. Like, the idea would be a first rounder and a prospect and a roster player and or, you know, an additional pick or something like that. Like, two or three assets for one is how I would interpret plus. So I also think you can get more. But what's the minimum I would take? Conditional first round pick.
Okay.
With the conditions being set on how many games Marchand plays in the postseason or how far the team advances. Something that's pretty easy to reach where it likely turns into a first rounder. And if you're talking about a contender, likely a late first rounder. But I would still take that personally. So you can jump in here. Who's the driving force behind the trade? I hope, this is what I hope, Keith. I hope it's Sweeney kind of panicking and worried that, oh, crap, we're not making the playoffs. If we miss the playoffs, I might lose my job. That's what happened to Shirelli. That's what happens with the Jacobs family. Crap. I better start getting assets and collecting them for whatever reason. Maybe it's just to redraft. Maybe it's to sell ownership on, well, now I have all these assets. We're going to own the trade market at the draft. Whatever it is, I hope Sweeney's panicking and putting together a plan to pitch to ownership to keep his job. And then I kind of hope he's out of a job, quite frankly. But what I hope it's not, and this is just a hope, I have no idea. I hope it's not ownership saying, get what you can, we trust you with the rebuild. I hope that message hasn't come from Jeremy and Charlie down to Cam to Don Sweeney, you're the guy for the rebuild. Tear it down. We're okay for 1 year. Get what you can. Get us back to the playoffs next year. You're the right guy for the job. I hope he doesn't already have that assurance.
I wonder if Jacobs actually gets involved with this. So usually we talk about this with other teams, like Robert Kraft says, you know, you can only spend this amount of money, or Robert Kraft might have his say on players. John Henry, very clearly. Like, I don't think Heim Bloom's first idea was, let's trade Mookie Betts. I'm pretty sure he was told to trade Mookie Betts. Could the other part of it be true? Like, if they're not convinced, they being the Jacobs family, if they're not convinced that Sweeney's the guy going forward, are you going to let him trade Marchand? Or maybe the Jacobs really want Marchand. Like, we did the Would You Rather on Wednesday. Would you rather just Marchand going forward or Sweeney going forward? So that's a fun debate for us, but for Jacobs to actually make that decision, maybe he says, if we trade Marchand, we know he's not going to re-sign with us.
Right.
But we want him on the team. The fans, for the most part, love him. So I don't know. Like, is it out of Sweeney's hands? And if it's out of Sweeney's hands, wouldn't he also know, like, I guess I'm done.
Yeah.
If you're not letting me trade him. Like, I think it's fascinating what's probably going on right now.
It would be, you've made this analogy a million times. It would be like, exactly, Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox. You've done that today. You've done that in the past.
Is it fully up to him to make this deal?
So my answer is I hope so.
Yeah. But then that also means he's probably back.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if he's being told what to do, I guess I get what you're saying. If he's being directed to trade him, then fine. If he's being told he can't trade him, then he is a dead man walking. I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's being told not to trade him based on the reporting from LeBron and Friedman and all these guys. They're like, no. The Bruins aren't saying no to trades. I think they're kind of itching to do it. And I think the contract is at the heart of all of it. We listened to this before the show.
Oh, for sure.
You know, Marchand has yelled at two insiders this year. It was Scoops Keefe and Elliot Friedman.
He's pissed.
Friedman said a deal was done. And I wish my antenna went up on this more in October. I remember saying this at the time. I'm like, when Marchand said, no, we don't have a deal done. Elliot doesn't know what he's talking about. If they gave me a three-year deal, sure, I'd take it, blah, blah, blah.
He clearly heard that from somebody he trusted.
My antenna should have gone up more then. And at the time, I'm like, why are the Bruins itching to pay him? He's 36 or whatever it was then, and he's in the final year of his deal, and I'm not anti-bringing him back. At the time, I still love Marchand. It's long before he ripped you.
Yep.
And I was like, even I was like, you don't need to rush to pay this guy. Like, play that out. See how it goes. Wait. There's no rush to pay him. Why are you doing it right now? Especially a 2 or 3 year deal. And I didn't think past that. The contract's been a huge issue. And Sweeney tried to shift the blame to Marchand last week. And I think in some ways, Marchand might be running this. Like, him not bending the knee and taking their deal is part of why they're getting antsy and maybe moving him before the trade deadline a little over 2 hours away.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Ba-boom. Ba-boom.
That could be anybody. Let's go to the NHL trade deadline desk with our own Billy Lanny. Billy.
Elliot Friedman hearing Luke Shen from Pittsburgh to the Winnipeg Jets.
All right, let's go to the analyst desk with our own Nick LaPea. Nick.
Good trade.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Good trade.
Now, this is how we're going to treat
trade
the analysts.
Trade the trade. Have you heard of these players?
Yeah, have you heard of
Luke
Shen?
Shen's old.
No, I know.
Okay, so you have. Have you heard of the Jets?
I have heard of the Jets, yes. Okay. Is that the first iteration or second iteration?
Ooh, new iteration.
New Jets.
Okay.
Darren Dreger is saying it's for a second and a fourth.
Very good.
Ah.
Very good.
The Trent Frederick is what we call that.
They got him for the old Trent Frederick.
Okay, busy day.
Luke Shen on the move.
Busy day in the NHL.
Man.
Much busier than the NBA trade deadline was great for like a week, but on actual deadline day, it kind of stunk.
No, they were a little premature with some of their trades.
NHL trade deadline day paying off, we hope, in even greater fashion. Leading up to 3 p.m. here on WEEI, you can listen to WEEI Afternoons to hear all the action at the NHL trade deadline at 3 o'clock Eastern. Right here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls. By the way, the latest matchup, final matchup of the day, is up at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. It is the hockey region, the 8-9 matchup, the number 8 seeded Capitals. We're calling these the Peter Bondras, Keefe?
Yeah, the Peter Bondras. It's got a really aggressive eagle on it.
The eagle with the stars across the front. Gorgeous jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Not to sway anyone.
No,
I wouldn't want to do that, but that's a gorgeous jersey. Versus the 9th seeded. We were just talking about the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets from the 90s. They're a white jersey as modeled by, I'm not quite sure who that is. Artur Zerbe. No, I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Could literally be anybody.
So you can vote there. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback coming up. And we have the Week in Review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get
we
the
gotta
chainsaw!
Go.
Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst.
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, time for our Week in Review here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Of course, if there's any NHL trades during this segment, we will break in with the news, obviously, like we've been doing all show long. Trade deadline, 3 o'clock today. And as of this moment, Brad Marchand, still a member of the Boston Bruins. All right, Monday, we began our mock draft Mondays in preparation for the NFL draft, which is now 48 days, 6 hours, 13 minutes, and 1 second from right now. And we started...
57.
Right.
56.
We started Mock Draft Monday with WEEI.com's own Chris Schein. He had Mock Draft 2.0, his first mock following the NFL Draft Combine.
And then the Patriots move down to 7 and take T-Mac, Tet McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. Why the move there, Schein, to trade back and take McMillan at 7?
So I think
in this world, right, I think that moving down and allowing another team to come up for the quarterback is the right move. The guy they want is either going to be an offensive lineman or T-Mac at this point. If both Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are off the board, that's the direction you kind of have to go. Those are your two biggest needs. They're also probably two of the better players on the board. But in this case, I think they need to draft for need. And Tet McMillan gives you that. He gives you that big, strong X receiver. He's got tremendous hands. He will pluck it from anywhere. And I think he's faster than people give him credit for. I'm kind of bummed you didn't get to see him run his 40 at the combine, but we will get to see it at his pro day. And if he's anywhere in the 4.5s or below, he's golden. Like, that's it.
Tet McMillan, who neither one of us were thrilled to hear, but that's what he's got right now.
No, yeah. I saw Daniel Jeremiah. It was not a mock draft, but it was a top 50.
Oh.
He's had Matthew Golden from Texas leapfrog McMillan on his wide receiver rankings.
Because of the 40 time.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's fast.
Very fast.
Fast.
And the whole college football playoff.
Oh, that too.
Oh, that helps. That helps. Check the tape. Check the tape.
Yeah, touch grass.
He was good.
Touch grass there, Shime. That's a Nick Santia. Yeah.
We also came up with our first Jones and Keefe bracket for the month of March. We had four very good ideas for a topic, a 64-field bracket to determine the best of something.
Yep.
And we announced the decision on Tuesday.
We also have the results. You can decide the 2025 Jones and Keefe bracket. You did decide the Jones and Keefe 2025 March Madness bracket. And in a vote that was exceptionally close,
basically
from the start.
Yeah, true.
Friend of the show, razor thin. Sports uniforms at 29.9% takes the cake over grab bag drops, sports movies and TV shows, and of course, sports nicknames as well. I like this text, Keefe.
Yeah, what do you got?
617-779-7937. I literally signed into Twitter after almost a decade off to vote in this poll.
Wow. So Elon Musk should thank us for sending people to Twitter for a poll like this. But this is pretty daunting. And this is also going to be a lot of work for Terp because we're going to need like side-by-side pictures for people to look at them on the screen.
You gave us out there. We didn't give ourselves.
No.
Because we wouldn't give ourselves this amount of work.
No, you did this.
You've given us actually a sizable amount of homework that we weren't quite anticipating having to do.
What did you vote for again?
We've been regretting it ever since. I voted movies and TV shows.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the most clear-cut, kind of straightforward.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's been done before, but we'll add the TV shows into it, so it's a little bit different.
Grab bag, we're like, oh, man, there's like 300 grab bag drops. That'd be a little bit of work, but at least
that'd be tough.
We're just listening to things. This was a lot. This was more boots on the ground work than I expected.
Yeah, but so far so good. I think people are into it, though.
People like it.
So I'll take that.
The people like it. I think I mentioned the hockey region is up. I did not mention we officially have a winner in yesterday's 116 matchup basketball region. The Nuggets did survive. That's
right.
Official.
Very good.
Precinct called.
We got ourselves into a little bit of hot water with the Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Yeah.
Hashtag go birds.
We're going to have more on this specific item coming up in a little bit. But yes, we did.
They were very fired up. I think it's finally cooled off. This is on Tuesday. And today here on Friday, it's finally cooled off in the mentions because I got tagged in one of these things. And it was, you know, just asking Tom E. Kern about one of my favorite receivers, A.J. Brown. Is the dream dead for A.J. Brown? I know he just won the Super Bowl, but he is the most connected to Mike Vrabel.
I love that.
I mean, it's a crazy offseason. Could that happen?
I love A.J. Brown, and I love the fact that you actually are sensible enough to go back to A.J. Brown instead of barking up the T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, and Ayuk, who are just not going to happen. A.J. Brown is a much more reasonable get. Why would the Eagles divorce themselves from him? I don't know exactly what but I think that that's reasonable. I also think Devontae Adams and Chris Godwin are very reasonable.
Okay. Godwin, Adams, A.J. Brown over Higgins, Metcalf.
Okay.
Is also how you
That was his real take. Eagles fans got very angry at that. But his real take was Higgins, Metcalf, and Ayuk are not actually going to come to New England. So why don't we spend time on things that might happen? Mm-hmm. We can debate if A.J. Brown will or won't, although we have an update on that that, again, we'll get to at the top of next hour.
Okay. Caller PK, he was hot and bothered this week.
Go ahead, PK.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's listening to you guys is like listening to Wayne and Garth discuss the Bruins.
It's a great show, though. You got to admit, Wayne's World, great show.
What did we get wrong?
Great, one of the second greatest. Listen, I want both of you guys to give me one item on your resume that qualifies you to discuss the Bruins. One item.
Keith, why don't you go first?
I've broken most stories.
He's the most plugged in insider in the NHL.
Contracts, PK. Injuries, trades.
So that's his.
And I'm a liar.
And I go
liar,
by hashtag liar. Hockey Jones. So that's my bullet.
Well, I'm not lying about that. Yeah. I'm not lying about that.
Can I just
I stand by everything I said.
Well, you're clearly lying, and you have nothing on your resume.
I'm 100% not lying.
I'm happy somebody said this.
And I can send you my LinkedIn if need be, if you're so worried about the resume. But
I'm not worried about anything with your resume.
You asked us about
LinkedIn.
It. You asked.
I want you to give me.
PK.
I want you to give me one item.
Swayman contracts, trades. Snarls Orlov. I had Pastrnak contract.
Orlov and Hathaway getting traded to the Bruins.
Jim Montgomery getting fired. Joe Sacco taking the job.
Keith Wayne and Goss in the basement.
Great line. You started with that. That was awesome. I'm glad you brought it back. The key to comedy is repetition.
PK,
repetition's the key to comedy.
I've just been itching to ask. Can I just hear your hockey bona fides? What are the bullet points on just one on your resume?
Good one.
Just real quick, PK.
Listen, I played at a real high level growing up.
Where? Where, though? Where?
He doesn't have anything. He's
Massachusetts.
Okay.
He Massachusetts.
High level in Massachusetts.
The state of Massachusetts.
Okay.
He represented Massachusetts.
Okay. PK, don't be a stranger.
It's still wild. Listening back to that. That was kind
of
wild.
I don't get the laughing confuses me the most. At the end. Out of all the confusing things in that call, him laughing at his own hockey credentials, I still don't get.
But he specifically
did he realize how absurd he sounded?
Maybe.
Or was or does
caught
he
himself halfway?
Yeah.
I don't know
what happened there. I still don't know.
But you can't ask for someone's resume and then when they try to describe, like, I don't care about your resume.
Right.
It's like, why would you brought it up
and then get
Very
asked
confusing.
About your resume? Yeah. You're not willing to share.
Well, a lot of Keefe's beefs, but we found one of our guests, Rob Bradford, who has taken over the Thursday guest time slot.
Yeah.
He apparently has some big-time issues with some of the creatures around baseball.
I got into a little tiff with the parrot up in Bradenton the other day.
Now, what team is that? The parrot?
The Pirates.
The Pirates' mascot is a parrot?
I don't think this is your first mascot feud, Bradfo.
In this case, I was talking smack about the parrot because I looked down in Bradenton, and this parrot is sitting in the stand looking like he's asleep. You know, like they tell the mascots, if you're going to take a break, go in the back room. This parrot was just sitting there, hunched over. Somebody asked to take a selfie with him. He sort of haphazardly just sort of turns like, hey, okay, goes right back. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And then I didn't realize that there was a guy next to him with a radio mic. So next thing I know, he starts looking up at the booth and starts making signals to me.
Got it.
I'm like, okay, all right, let's do it. Let's go.
Pardon the pun, the parrot sleeping really flies in the face of baseball being boring.
I would love to see Brad Foe at like Disney World just yelling at people about how to do their jobs.
Oh, I got into it with the Astros mascot once behind the scenes.
What?
Where
how many mascots have you got?
I'm telling you, he's got a real issue with mascots.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, you know, listen, I'm not going to say I know that all these mascots are real things and real creatures and everything, but this to say that they aren't. This is to suggest that they have some human being.
No souls?
The Astros, I guess it was Orbit, and I was just like, hey, hello, can I take a picture, whatever it was, and he basically attacked me. So, not a good day for Orbit.
We're going to have to get, like, the mascot minute every week with Bradford, too, just to see
good
if
idea.
He's kind of...
Just by the way, have you gotten in...
Ruffing any feathers?
Have you gotten into it with any of these mascots lately?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
I do like a good mascot fight. Mascot on mascot, human on mascot, like with Ace Ventura.
Versus the eagle. Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say the same exact thing. Yeah.
It's fantastic. He's about to get that bird, and then the eagle just swatted it away from the... Which is funny, because there's a bird swatting another bird.
Yep.
He had to get a drink. He's thirsty, the eagle mascot was. Dolphins, Eagles. That was a big game.
It's a big game.
There you go. There's your weekend review.
Weekend review.
Yep.
Another big week here on Jones and Keefe. It's a big day in the NHL. Trade deadline day. The deadline a little over 2 hours away. 3 o'clock. You'll hear it right smack dab in the middle of WEEI afternoons. They come your way at 2. They'll have you covered here today on WEEI. We'll go back to your phone calls. An update on A.J. Brown, which I've been teasing a bit. And the Patriots also having a new number one receiver at the top of their list. Cross off T. Higgins. Maybe they won't get DK Metcalf. There's another name we should focus on. It's Chris Godwin, and we'll do that next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work.
Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.